Why do people want to be at work? To feel heard, appreciated, part of something, and to know there's a career path for everyone. Inclusive workplaces are linked to increased innovation, productivity, and employee satisfaction. Make your organisation a place where people want to be. For inclusion and diversity training, visit inclusion-program.com.au.
You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
It's a daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap for this Friday, the 19th of April, 2024. The Australian share market fell today by 1%. We'll have the details with Jessica Amir from Moomoo. But first, the corporate regulator ASIC, which says more than 1,100 businesses called in the administrators in March. That's the most ever for a single month. And that number is expected to grow. ASIC says since the beginning of the financial year, so that's July 2023, more than 7,700 companies failed, and that's 36% more than the same time last year. For more, I spoke with Patrick Coughlin, Creditor Watch CEO. Patrick, ASIC says it's expected that the number of companies entering external administration by the end of June will exceed 10,000. That's a level not seen since the 2012-13 financial year. Just how concerning is this?
Look, it's certainly really concerning. Businesses are doing it tough out there, particularly small and medium businesses. You know, they've seen a downturn in revenue, their profitability's, you know, being wiped out, and they just don't have access to the sort of cash reserves that the larger organisations would have in Australia.
What do you think it says about where we are in the economy right now?
It's really tough. I think there are certain sectors doing it, you know, far worse than others, in particular hospitality, for example, arts and recreation. So all of those discretionary spend exposed industries. And they're generally made up of really small businesses. You know, the larger ones are faring quite well. They've usually got a lot more money they can use and they can actually take advantage of a downturn like this. But for smaller ones, it's tough. We're also going to naturally see an increase in obviously unemployment and just overall, you know, that then hits consumers and their pockets too.
Simple question. How do we get here?
Look, it's probably no surprise in hindsight, of course, when you look back at the stimulus package and the amount of free money that was thrown around. You know, we had to pay for that eventually and we're certainly paying for it now. There was plenty of discussion around, you know, the zombie apocalypse and all of these businesses, you know, struggling or likely folding through COVID. That never happened as a result of, you know, the legislation that was passed for safe harbour protections and, of course, JobKeeper, JobSeeker and the like. But unfortunately, when you have a downturn in the number of insolvencies of close to 40% for sort of 18 months, that comes back to bite you. And we're starting to see that interest rates, you know, at you know, all-time, you know, recent highs, insolvencies on the up. It is really going to be tough out there.
The interesting thing for me is that when you look at reports from organisations like NAB and the NAB Business Survey, it tends to show that conditions for businesses are above average, right? So is it two speed?
Look, I think it is. I think those companies that have got access to capital, they can obviously, they've got levers to pull, if you will. They can let people go if they need to and increase their profitability but still grow market share. They can take advantage of smaller competitors in the market through consolidation and buying them, or they can raise capital or debt in public markets. So it certainly is two speed. Those larger profitable businesses continue to perform well, but smaller ones are probably not being measured in the same way. I think if you were to do a NAB business sentiment survey just on small businesses, it would look very different.
So finally, what happens now?
Unfortunately, we've just got to hang in there. I think it's likely to get worse before it gets better. We're probably expecting a peak, you know, insolvency number in August, September. But of course, that's really dependent on when we're going to get some confidence in the first rate cut. There is some positivity in those stage three tax cuts coming through in July. That's going to definitely contribute to additional money in everyone's bank account and pocket. And hopefully that creates a bit of spend in those discretionary exposed industries, which has a nice knock-on effect through the economy as well. But really, we've got to sort of hang in there until probably, you know, the new calendar year. And I think, you know, that's the sort of sentiment that you're hearing from the banks, from the ATO. The ATO obviously wants to collect outstanding debt, but if you work with them, they certainly want to get everyone through to more positive times.
That's Patrick Coughlin there from Creditor Watch.
Now, Market Day on the SBS On The Money podcast.
Well, rising tensions in the Middle East really impacted investor sentiment. The ASX 200 down 1% by the close. It was even further weaker than that earlier in the session, around lunchtime down 1.9%. For the week, though, the market is off 2.8%. That's its worst five-day run in about 6 months. For more, I spoke with Jessica Amir, a market strategist at Moomoo.
So the Aussie share market has fallen from its fresh record. A couple of weeks ago, we hit a brand new record high, our highest level in history, but now we're down about 4.4% from that level. So yeah, markets don't go up in a straight line, but what we've got going on at the moment is a couple key things. Of course, we've got to remember, firstly, we copy the US share market typically. And so what is going on in the US market and globally? And a couple of key things, Ricardo, need to be pointed out. Firstly, we've received a stronger round of economic news. And this essentially means the Fed might not have to cut interest rates. Coming into this year, the market was expecting 4 cuts, and now the market is starting to rub out those cuts, and now there's potentially likely to be 0 cuts in the US. So we're going through an adjustment period. Second of all, we are seeing Middle Eastern tension pick up, and indeed we've seen that today. The other thing that's happening, Ricardo, a really important one, a little bit more technical, and that is today's options expiry. Tonight, it'll be options expiry in the US. This is a technical event that occurs once a month, and it typically causes a lot of volatility to pick up. And on days like today, moves in either direction get magnified.
Let's break some of that up. Now, the market really is hinged on these tensions in the Middle East spreading. Why? As we're recording this interview right now, I think the information is quite unconfirmed as to whether or not there has been an Israeli attack in Iran. So I just want to make that clear. As we're recording this right now, there are unconfirmed reports of that happening. But still, it's impacting the market quite significantly. Run us through why and what scenario analysts are factoring in and what the implications are for investors.
So there's a lot there. Absolutely, you're 1,000% correct. But we do have to look back at history to see what has occurred in the past, what is occurring now, and what we see potentially occurring in the future. So the first thing is, throughout history, we do know every time that there has been, civil tension pick up or wartime, tension pick up. We recently experienced that back in October. Since then, we've learned that markets do go through a dicey period. They do pull back, but then we have seen markets subsequently hit new record highs. Vis-a-vis, we saw the S&P 500 and the ASX 200 hit fresh record highs, proving that they are able to recover from duress. Second of all, we've got to think about what we're going through right now. It's horrible. So we do know, I'm seeing a report just recently on my Bloomberg screen. I'm seeing confirmation. Yes, potentially it looks like there have been strikes. And so as a result, we're seeing spikes in some key commodities, Ricardo. So we're seeing wheat pop up. We're seeing oil. We're seeing gold spike as well. The other things that we're seeing as well, Ricardo, is there's an increasing interest in those type of companies that are key beneficiaries of duress times as well. And I mean defence companies. We know this week in Australia, the Australian government announced an additional $50 billion of spending in defence. We also know back in March 11, the Biden administration also pledged more money to defence companies. So it's no surprise that we see companies like Lockheed Martin, Raytheon, etc., they're gaining more contracts because they're sending supplies, also to those parts of the world, as well as topping up their own supplies. So that's the other part of the market that we are focused on. And so there's also, for people who don't want to look at stocks, we're seeing the ETF ITA, which is, I guess, one of the biggest proxies, the biggest ETFs that you can invest in, that gives you exposure to all the defense names. Since some recent unrest and tension back in October, that ETF ITA has gone up 17%. So again, this proves that in times of tension, we are seeing investors, profiteer, it's horrible to say, but from companies that are making money from these key areas.
Okay, so how's all of these events, especially the escalation in the Middle East that we've seen today, impact the market today?
Well, today the Aussie share market has not had a good day, but if you dive into the detail, you'll see that the leaderboard is filled with gold stocks and some oil names as well. It's no surprise that we've seen the gold price pop to record highs, and we are seeing that clients are increasingly interested in gold, not just on the retail side of things, but there's a very large institutional part of the market that are interested in gold as well. Last but not least, we do know that central banks around the world are increasing their spending in gold. So it's not just the main G20 countries that are increasing their spending, actually buying physical gold, but so too is China's economy and China's central bank, the PBOC. They've actually recently increased gold buying for the 17th straight month. So there's a big case there for further upside in gold.
That's Jessica Amir there from Moomoo.
This SBS On The Money stream is provided for informational purposes only. The content in this stream should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and it does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.
SBS is Australia's most trusted multilingual broadcaster. Our listeners are loyal, highly engaged, and have supported countless local businesses. We offer advertising packages for businesses of all sizes. Our experienced sales team will guide you through the process of owning a great campaign. Bring your own ad or have our production team make you something in one of our 68 languages. Start the conversation with your new audience today. Email sales@sbs.com.au.